For those of you who've checked the abstracts in the program, you'll see by remarkable coincidence my submitted topic and abstract was verbatim the same as Andrea Rutnitsky, so I heroically prepared another talk last night in order to avoid duplication. That sounds much better than a mix-up in the abstracts. So as Chris said, this is based on a joint work with Grace Yee, who's an associate professor in our department, and it's something that we worked on recently with motivation partially coming from a health promotion study that's been ongoing at the University of Waterloo for several years on smoking cessation or smoking prevention in children in public schools, but it's got other sort of applications as well, with settings involving clustering as well as a longitudinal repeated measures kind of aspect to the data collection. So notationally, this is a bit more involved than the talks you've seen so far, but I'll try and explain what we're doing fairly carefully, and hopefully things will be clear. So I'll just start out with a very brief review of longitudinal binary data, talk about incomplete longitudinal data, and then get into the inverse probability weighting approach of Jamie Robinson's colleagues. And so the wrinkle in this is that in addition to having sort of correlated data cross-sectionally and longitudinally for the responses, you've got correlations in the missing data process within clusters. And I'll talk briefly about some simulation results and look at a quick application to the data set. So with just sort of non-clustered longitudinal data, this is a notation that we'll use. YJK is the response for the J subject at the K assessment. So we have a vector YJ where these are correlated within that vector, and there's a covariate XJK associated with that response. And μJK is the expectation of YJK given XJ, which we express in terms of a particular covariate vector. We've got our vector μJ. So J again is indexing clusters in this case. And we've got a covariance matrix that we have denoted by V here. And so if we just think about sort of an ordinary GEE, our estimating functions have this form here, observed minus expected, weighted by the inverse of the variance, and then the derivative matrix here. And we're summing over clusters because they're independent. Alternatively, you can think about, if you're interested in the association parameters in and of themselves, you can think about these GEE2 type of equations where, in addition to having the observed minus expected for the responses, we've got observed minus expected for the product of all possible pairs of products of responses within cluster J. And that expectation, by its nature, is going to involve the association parameters. And when we solve this, we're going to have both estimates of beta and of delta. And this is sort of widely used, but some of the problems that we're thinking of involve very large clusters. And so you can imagine when you're looking at WJ here, the dimension can be very overwhelming. And for computational reasons, we also consider this alternative approach called alternating logistic regression, where you set up a pair of estimating functions where this looks like what we had for a regular GEE, but the second equation is based on observed minus expected residuals where they're conditional residuals, because this is a conditional expectation given YK. So it's the expectation of YJK given YJK prime, I should say, is equal to a particular value. And so we're dealing with binary data, so the variances of this is of this form, and we've got an independence assumption within that matrix there. So computationally, this is more convenient when clusters are particularly large, and it retains fairly good efficiency. So for still the same problem, without the sort of two aspects to the clustering, we can think about different kinds of missing data mechanisms, and we're dealing with the marginal approach using estimating functions, and we're going to focus on this missing at random setting. So just to be clear here, missing completely at random implies that our missing data process, so we've got r, j, k equaling 1 if y, j, k is observed and 0 otherwise, and the vector y, or r, j now. This distribution does not depend on y if things are missing completely at random. It depends on the observed component of y if things are missing at random. So we've sort of partitioned y into two parts, an observed and missing part. And then missing not at random we won't deal with, but one can think about this problem in terms of sensitivity analyses. But we're just going to focus on this missing at random setting. And just to lead into some motivation for inverse probability weighting, it's helpful to think about why regular GE doesn't work when we've got data that's missing at random. So we can think about just supplementing or modifying our GE type equation with this matrix DJ, which just contains the indicators that YJK was observed. So this product then is going to just retain the YJ components that we've got. Then we have to think, well, we're only going to get consistent estimates for the parameters we're interested in if this has expectation zero. So let's take the expectation, but now we've got to deal with the fact that R is random as well. So when we take this expectation when data is missing at random, this expectation of DJ is in fact going to involve YJ observed. And our second expectation then would be the expectation with respect to the product of these two things, which is nonlinear in YJ and therefore not equal to zero. However, if we use this well-known trick now that we can divide by the probability that YJK was observed, so we're redefining, or we're defining this delta J term here as the ratio of the indicator that it's observed with the probability that it's observed, then when we take this first expectation, we get cancellation, and then we take the second expectation, and it becomes zero and unbiased, and therefore, provided we've modeled this missing data process correctly, we'll get consistent estimates. So that's just a recap of the longitudinal setting. But we are interested in this, as I say, the community intervention trials where you've got communities that are randomized and periodic surveys to assess status with respect to some response, which could be a behavior or smoking status, or in family studies, you might be interested in following individuals in the family over time, and this is an example where maybe you're actually interested in the association parameter in its own right to characterize the degree of within family dependence in response, and then the context that we're that sort of initially motivated this was a school-based longitudinal study conducted at Waterloo, the Waterloo Smoking Prevention Project, where schools are randomized. There's 100 schools that were randomized to one of a number of different interventions, and then there were annual interviews with children to determine whether or not they were currently smoking. And the aim, obviously, of the intervention was to reduce the probability of smoking. But there were many kinds of missing data patterns that we actually observed. So here's a sort of generic diagram here where we're introducing another subscript here. So now we've got a subscript for cluster, a subscript for subject within cluster, and then we have a subscript for responses over time. So YIJK now is the kth assessment, response to the kth assessment for the jth subject within cluster I. So YIJ is the vector for a particular individual, and now we've got yi as the vector for all individuals within cluster I. So we've got the corresponding means, and then we have this corresponding vector of indicators, whether or not these observations were actually made. So we could have, for example, strictly monotone dropout, or monotone missing data patterns corresponding to dropout, as in this first cluster. In reality, there are intermittently missing observations. Or you could have complete data as well, which doesn't happen very often. And so J sub I is the number of subjects within a cluster. So the cluster size varies because there's a variable number of children per school. So our model is going to look like this. We've got a mu ijk, the expectation as before. Set up a logistic regression model. And then we've got a psi ijk, j prime, k prime, which is the conditional odds ratio reflecting the association between two different observations made within the same cluster. So these different observations may be same subject, different time point. Different subjects, same time point. Should be a cross-sectional association, or it could be a mixture of the two, where we've got one subject at one time point and another subject in the same cluster at a different time point. And we can sort of think of this in terms of a regression model where we introduce covariates, which enable us to distinguish these different kinds of association. And we can generalize that further and introduce other covariates as well if we're interested in modeling how the association varies from cluster to cluster or individual to individual. So our vector of unknown parameters for the responses is going to be reflected by theta, which is comprised of beta for the mean and phi for the association. So for our missing data process now, we've got a couple of other things to define. Well, first of all, with missing data, we have some component of this vector yij that's observed. So we're denoting that as before. We've got a history at assessment k for subject j. This is the collection of responses that are observed. And then we have the history of the missing data process as well. So I may be focusing on monotone missingness for a while and talk a little bit about the assumptions needed if it's intermittently missing and you want to make the missing at random assumption. Essentially, it can depend on the responses, but it only can depend on, or it's most convenient if it only depends on the previously observed responses. So anyway, we have a model for whether or not the response is observed at assessment K for subject J. We'll set this up in another logistic way. So this is the conditional probability that this is observed given past responses, covariates, and the previous missing data structure or observations. And then we have another association parameter which characterizes the within-cluster association in the missing data process. So given the vector of covariates for the ith cluster, which can include these quantities here, this reflects the association. Now we're going to focus on the case where we just got sort of a cross-sectional association. So given the history at time point K, what's the association in the missing data indicators for two different subjects at the same time point? So we're going to use psi star to reflect that. And again, we can think about regression models. But alpha now is characterizing the missing data process, accounting for the correlation in the missing data indicators through gamma. So we have one gamma for each time point, if you like. So these are just the alternating logistic regression equations for the missing data process. So we've just got regular GE type of equations there for time point k. And then we have the ALR equations for the association parameters and the missing data process reflected in this S2k component. And we solve these together. So we've got sort of a symmetry in the sense that, in this case, the response model is the same as the missing data model, but we have a separate missing data model for each assessment time. And so what do these now look like? The equations for the mean response are going to be inverse probability weighted again, and this is the form that we had before. We're just dividing by the probability that Rijk is 1, and this is in some sense a conditional probability, but also a marginal probability because we're only looking at the indicator of missingness for that particular response. And here we've got, I guess, the modification to the second set of estimating equations for the association parameters in the response, but weighted according to, well, what's the probability we actually get a contribution to this residual here? Well, we need to have both yijk observed, which is our sort of response at this time point, and yij prime k prime observed, which is the sort of other response that we're using to take this conditional expectation. So we need to have a joint model, and this was defined earlier in terms of these conditional odds ratios. So just a couple of words about a simulation study. We basically set this up to mimic what we have in the smoking prevention project, where we have this repeated sort of longitudinal association, we have a cross-sectional association, and we have this mixed cross-sectional and repeated measures, so the R stands for repeated here, measures association, and then we've got a response model which involves a treatment indicator, and then these two indicators of assessments, in other words, the marginal probability of response at time point 2 is not necessarily the same as time point 1, likewise time point 3. So here's our betas, and these are the association parameters. And then for our missing data model, we've set it up so that, well, in fact, in general, we have a missing at random because it can depend on the past responses. So at time point k, you're modeling the probability an observation is present or absent, and this indicates it's possibly dependent on the previous response. And in fact, it can depend on the previous response differentially in the two different groups. We're going to focus on the case where alpha 3 is equal to 0, just for convenience. And then this is what we were saying before, that we've got only three time points. We're restricting attention to individuals who have complete data at time point 1, but the association at the two different time points in the missing data indicators is possibly different. So psi 2 star represents the correlation in the R's at time point 2 and likewise at time point 3. And then we'll look at a couple of different analyses. One, assuming just independence in the missing data process within clusters, and then secondly, allowing for this within cluster association. And we'll just look at relative efficiency. So just to make a long story short, we don't find any significant impact on the efficiency of the regression coefficients in the response model, which you might expect because these are weighted. That first set of estimating equations was weighted according to just the marginal probability of whether the data was observed at that time point. So here we're looking at the ratio of the variance accounting for clustering in the missing data process divided by the variance assuming independence in the missing data process. These are the coefficients of the missing data model, and these are the measures of association in the missing data process within clusters at those two different time points. So even when there's really high within cluster association, we're not going to see much of an effect, or we don't see much of an effect. But if we're interested in estimating these log odds ratios, which k characterize the association in the responses in these different ways, cross-sectionally and repeated, cross-sectionally or just repeated. When there's a strong within cluster association in the missing data process, we see we can benefit a fair bit in terms of efficiency. And here, I guess, this isn't maybe the best example to illustrate why this might be useful, because you're not probably interested in the association parameters in this context. They're sort of nuisance parameters that you might want to estimate for the purpose of designing future studies, but really all you want are valid estimates of the variance of the regression coefficients. But here, if you think of another context like the family studies we were talking about before, they may be of primary importance, in which case this gain in efficiency would be more important. Yep. Ratios of variance. You mean bias in the association parameters when you assume independence in the weights? Yeah, that's true. Empirically, we found it to be very small, so I haven't commented on that here, but empirically, it was extremely small. Yeah. So just to look at this data set here, an application of this data set, we've got 100 schools randomized to an anti-smoking program or not. We've got annual assessments, and 12% of the children have one or more missing observations, and in fact it is intermittently missing, so we've made that assumption that I stated earlier, that the missing data, the model for the missingness at time point K can depend on the observed responses in the past, only to facilitate things. So, and we've got covariates. We're just looking at treatment, grade, and sex. And we could think about, sorry, this is actually not correct. We looked at GE2 at one point with a smaller set of the data, but for the results that follow, we looked at alternating logistic regression, as I described earlier. We've got a covariates in our missing data process, which include past responses and school at-risk indicators. Meaning, this is a measure of risk for the child to become a smoker based on historical data on the smoking rates in that school. There's a lot here. But basically, let's just focus on a couple of things. We've got the response model results here, and then we have the missing data model here. And we find that there's significant, so this is unfortunately a bit notationally involved, but all this is the odds ratio characterizing the within cluster association in the missing data indicators at time point 2, which is actually grade 7. And we find that there is a positive association that's significant. And likewise, at time point 3, which is grade 8, it's significant. We find that in the missing data model that we've chosen, and we didn't do an exhaustive analysis by any stretch, but that the previous response was in fact predictive of missingness, and treatment was not. So it's missing at random, and there is this within cluster association, at least in this model that we fit. And if we look at the odds ratios characterizing the different kinds of associations, sorry, this is a bit small, but this is just the association between different subjects at the same time point. We can compare this with the results under the independence assumption, and we find the estimates of association are pretty comparable, but the confidence intervals are a little bit narrower when we use clustered weights. Likewise for the longitudinal association, where it's a very strong association, and then there's the mixed as well. I think maybe I'll stop there.